All right, welcome back to another segment of Awake the Iron. I'm your host, Kaysen Pratt, and this is going to be another one of our little short ones. We came up with a name, and there was some cool suggestions for names like Iron Filings or Short Iron. There was a bunch of others, and I don't know, just grab bag kind of fit. And if you're from Michigan, it'd be grab bag. So it just stuck. So we named it grab bag. So that's what we're going to be doing. And these are just going to be little short ones that are, I've got Sturdmig here watching the clock for me. And they're just going to be exactly that, just grab bag. And maybe in the future, I'll even have like some topics in a bag. And then we'll actually pull out a topic randomly and go with it or something like that. It could be kind of fun. When I was a little kid, there was a church we went to, and the preacher would do a sermon in the sack, and there'd be stuff in a bag. And that was actually like little objects or something, I think, if I recall. I was pretty little. And the kids would go up front, and the guy would pull the object out and then do a little lesson on the spot. And sometimes the objects were really obscure and funny. But anyway, all right, so let's get to it.
Grab bag.
Today's topic is going to be my pet peeves. And when I was compiling the list, I have a lot of pet peeves, so I think I have some issues, some problems, but maybe you share some of these with me. Some of these are a little more serious, and then other ones maybe a little light, and you want to try to keep these a little light. So let's start with number one. So this one is really came to the forefront for me during all of the COVID insanity, and it really annoys me. And it is when someone says, "It's not my rule," you know, talking about some oppressive mandate or whatever. Well, it's not my rule, you know, I don't like it any more than anybody else. I just wish we could go back to normal. Oh my gosh, I hate that. I was speaking with the school system superintendent, and he said the same thing. Oh, it's not my rule. And I'm like, you're in charge of the rules. Like, you make the rules. So what he meant was, you know, the state is saying, do this, do that. Even though ultimately he had the authority he told me as such to do whatever he wanted. Well, it's not my rule. And if you recall, let's think back to maybe just after World War II, maybe, and you have all these Nazi officers on trial for war crimes, and every single one of them said, well, it wasn't, you know, we shoved a bunch of people into an oven and burned them alive. Oh, well, but it wasn't my rule. I was just following orders. Yeah, that didn't fly for most of those people. So they were executed. So you're still responsible for your choice to act or not act. So don't give me that it's not my rule crap. Yeah, that gets me triggered, man. So that was the first one. It's not my rule. What a cop out. Okay, number two. This is another one. I had a huge list. Like, I'm even thinking of new pet peeves right now. So okay. So maybe I have a problem. So that's fine. But I'm just going through these, and maybe you've heard these. Second one I have here is, I'll put it in quotes, because of COVID. So, well, I was going to go visit grandma, but I couldn't because of COVID, right? You might've heard that. Well, we were going to have our soccer season continue, but we couldn't because of COVID. I hate that. I hate that. Nothing was because of COVID. Nothing. If you didn't go see grandma, or you didn't have a soccer season, it's because you chose not to. It's because you chose not to. I absolutely berated the head of the soccer league, or as league head. And I'm like, again, just like the superintendent thing, you have the authority to do whatever you want. Well, because of COVID. Wrong. Wrong. Because of you. So if somebody said, oh, well, we didn't have Thanksgiving because of COVID. No, you didn't have Thanksgiving because you decided not to have Thanksgiving. Right. There's a difference. Okay. In your mind, that might be the reason. But it's a nothing. So don't say that. Okay. Maybe you disagree with me. Perfectly fine. We've already established I have mental issues because I had a huge list of pet peeves. But not because of COVID, right? Well, you know, we had to lock in our houses because of COVID. No, you locked yourself in your house because you thought you had to obey the babblings of a buffoon who happens to hold a position of quote unquote authority. So whatever that person says, you're going to obey. Right? It's in your mind. That was in your mind. I didn't lock myself in my house. Right? Oh, you got to wear a mask because of COVID. Right? I don't wear a mask. Right? If the supposed authority tells you to give you a shirt, you going to do it? Maybe you would. I think a lot of people proved it to us, right? If government agents showed up at my door and they said, oh, you got to give us your shirt because the governor said so, I'd be like, get the heck out of here. So second one was because of COVID. Nope. That's a nothing. Okay. Whew, I haven't even had coffee yet. I'm getting fired up. Disturbing. Maybe this was a bad idea. Get the heart rate going a little bit. I really get aggravated about this. Maybe you don't, and you're just like, this guy's stupid. That's totally fine. Maybe you can find humor in my anguish. Okay. Next one, number three. Man, it's another one about that. I picked some that were relevant, like current and the whole, pandemic, we'll put that in quotes. Sorry, that's another pet peeve. I don't even like that word. But this one is lifting the mandates. Yay, we're lifting the mandates. We can all go back to normal. Yippee, hooray. Not only is this the dumbest thing I've ever heard, it is highly agitating to me. Oh, did you hear? They're lifting the mandates. So we can walk into stores without having to wear fear muzzles. Oh, we're so happy. This is asinine. First of all, quote unquote mandates are a nothing. Right? They're not lawful. It's just a something that a person professes with words, and then people who are indoctrinated and brainwashed think they have to bow to and obey the hot air that comes out of this person that they believe has some kind of authority over them in their lives. So, oh, did you hear? They're lifting the mandates. I can take the sign out of the window of my business now. Oh, I can allow my employees to breathe while working because they're lifting the mandates. So these mandates are they're a nothing. There were lawyers at the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law that said the mandates themselves are unlawful. So disobeying the mandates is following the law. So this is what I argue with Christians, fellow Christians who say, well, it says in the Bible, we got to follow the law. I'm like, yeah, I know. You're right. How do we follow the law? How do you follow the law as a Christian? So you want to do what the Bible says. How do you follow the law? First of all, you have to understand the law. You can't follow the law unless you understand it. And the mandates are unlawful. So actually, if you went to a church that had signs up say you got to wear a mask and they didn't let you in unless you wore a mask, or some churches you couldn't even go in unless you had an injection. Can't come in without an injection. Well, we want to follow the law because that's what it says in the Bible. You have to understand the law to follow it. And all of those mandates were unlawful. Well, we couldn't go to church because they told us we had to lock ourselves in our houses. So we want to follow the law because the Bible says blah, 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 blah. Shut up with that. I'm being serious. That is aggravating. That was one of the most aggravating things for me. So if your church closed its doors, not only because they said, well, we're trying to follow the law, not only was that actually unlawful, or that is not required by law to do it, you're going against scripture. How do you like that? Maybe you disagree. Fine. It's my pet peeve, so I can hate on whatever I want. I don't hate any person. Okay. Just to make that clear. Okay. How are we doing on time? Good. All right. So lifting the mandates. Oh, yay. We're lifting the mandates. We're free. We're free. It's all in your mind. So that's another pet peeve. One more kind of serious one, and then two more maybe not so serious. Next one, the fourth one. Well, before I say this, on Awake the Iron, we talk a lot about being precise with our words and our language and understanding the meaning of words.
He didn't fall? Inconceivable.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
And there may be a lot of examples of how that's the misuse of words, or CJ and I talk all the time about, you know, making sure we understand the meaning. And I think we even did a whole show about the meaning. It wasn't about the meaning of words, but it turned into we were investigating the definitions, right? And that tends to keep coming into play, understanding. And if you're in a conversation with somebody, and you know they say a word, that it's like, well, that could kind of go either way. You have to define your terms. So anyway, this is my pet peeve number four, is when people living in America, they talk about our system of government as a democracy. we do not live in a democracy. Thank God. Thank God we do not live in a democracy. And you might be hearing that thinking, well, what are you even talking about? Yeah, of course we live in a democracy, right? Wrong. No, we don't. So this is where you need to understand the meaning of words. And I'm not saying I'm the ultimate authority on all of this. Just look into it. There's a great video series. It's in the Awake the Iron Academy. If you go to awaketheiron.com. And actually, I forgot to maybe say this at the beginning, but if you're listening to this and you want to see the video, go to awaketheiron.com and you can see this video. And if you want to give a call, call the Awake the Iron hotline, 601-654-IRON. If you don't want to call because you have social anxiety, then you can also text. So text also is fine. There's a great video series about types of government and the definitions of the words. And it's in the Awake the Iron Academy. If you go to awaketheiron.com, at the top, at the menu where it has like contact and about, there'll be a tab that says Academy. And you hover on that and it pops down a little list of topics. And if you go to the law and government, under that tab, there is a video called Types of Government Explained. It's like 10 minutes or something, 10, 12 minutes. It's awesome. I actually sent it to one of my kids' teachers, their history teacher or something. They loved it. They showed it to the class. It is excellent. And in that video, which you should go watch, it explains the different types of government. And we, thank God, don't live in a democracy. We don't. So you say, okay, well, what do we live in? We live in a republic. A republic. And what's the difference? Well, you should go watch that video and it'll explain it. But in short, a democracy is mob rule, right? 50.0001% decide something needs to be so, then it is so. As soon as more than 50% want something, then that's what you get. So it's mob rule. So if the people on your street want to take your house, and then they put it to a vote, and there's 100 people on your street, and 51 say, yes, we're going to take your house, you lose your house. That's a democracy. Thank God we don't live in a democracy, right? So, oh, well, we live in a republic. Well, what's that? Well, republic, and that video breaks down the meaning of the word, right? Is we're ruled by the thing that is public, which is the law. So if the people on your street want to take your house and they can't just do it, there's a legal process that, and there are protections. Say, oh, well, it's his property. So it doesn't matter if all of you want his house. Too bad, so sad. Okay. So don't call it a democracy. We don't live in a democracy. Now, there's a couple other terms that are similar. There's democratic, right? So you might say, well, we do live in a democratic republic. And I would agree. So democratic is just the process of choosing, right, is a voting thing. How do we decide who's gonna do the laundry? Well, we can choose that person democratically, right? So, that's that process. Also, don't confuse that with the word Democrat. Democrat is a political party. It's a faction. Just like Republican, right? So we live in a republic. So what is a Republican? That's a political party. It's a faction. It's just a group that named itself that. Not related. So please stop saying we live in a democracy. But now that you know this, you'll hear that word a lot misused. Watch the news. Watch the news. Oh, okay. Back up. No, don't watch the news. But if you should happen to catch some of the news, they use the word democracy. Oh, this is a threat to our democracy. That's interesting. We don't live in a democracy, so what are you even talking about? Okay, enough about that. Okay, so a couple fun ones. I used to work in the restaurant industry. So I did all kinds of stuff, dishwasher, cook, you know, busser. I was a waiter. And one thing I hate, so I have trouble going to restaurants because I can't help but like look around. I was a restaurant manager and see things that need done. And it's just like a sickness. I don't know. So there's a little part of me that doesn't really enjoy being at a restaurant. But a huge pet peeve of mine is when, so you got a table of six people, you know, it's in our group, and the food comes. And whether it's a person who just brings the food and they're not really your waiter or your server, or it's the waiter himself actually bringing your food, I hate when they, what we called auctioning off the food. So they come and they got all these plates and they're like, who had the pasta linguine? Right. And then they look around and then, you know, somebody raises their hand. Oh, I had the pasta linguine, you know, and then grandpa can't hear. So when they say, okay, who had the barbecue burger, and he can't hear. And then everybody's like, well, did I, and then they don't remember, like, wait, I had the barbecue bacon burger. Right. And did grandpa have the barbecue burger? And he can't hear. So what's going on? And I hate the auctioning of food. Hate it. And there's a really simple procedure that can be done to avoid all of that. And this is what's really cool, is it doesn't matter if you are the server taking the order. So you remember, okay, the guy with the hat had the barbecue burger, and the, you know, the lady with the red shirt, she had the Cobb salad and blah, blah, blah. You don't have to do any of that. Nobody has to remember anything. And anyone in the entire restaurant can bring the food and instinctively know exactly who gets what. And here's how you do it. If the restaurant has an agreed upon system to where any table at any time, there's just a few set of rules that when you're trained, that you learn, you know, you learn how to work the cash register and you learn how to hook up the syrups for the sodas and blah, blah, blah. You learn all this stuff. There's just a real simple way to learn. And it, there may be a standard real set way that's like anywhere you go, this is how you do it, but it doesn't matter. If your restaurant wants to do this one technique, it'll work. Basically, it's understood that at any table, there's a almost like a pattern or a numerical seating arrangement, right? And a lot of restaurants have maps of tables and everything already. So you have an agreed upon position that is the number one position at a table. Okay, it could be any. What, let's just say it's the most north and central spot, right? So you know which way is north, south, east, west. This table on the north most if central spot on the north is the number one, or whatever, the corner, it doesn't matter. And then in a certain pattern around the table, let's say clockwise, it goes from 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 and on around. And when you load the tray, you can load the tray in a similar way that corresponds, or have some predetermined protocol to where it's just automatically understood. This is the number one plate, which goes with the number one seat. And this is the number two plate, goes with the number two seat, and so on. So anyone, Fred, was on a break, comes out, somebody says, hey, can you run that to table 9? And he has nothing to do with table 9, but he knows exactly who gets what already, doesn't have to say a word. He arrives at the table. Hey, everybody, your food is here. You're hungry and ready to eat. And the number one plate goes to the number one seat, number two to the number two, and so on. And it's like magic. And how did that guy know what we were going to eat? Oh, he's amazing. And everything is right. Now, things could go wrong. Somebody could put the wrong plate on the tray position. That's wrong. Make a mistake. Maybe somebody at the table decided to change positions. So they were sitting there. They went to the bathroom, came back. Oh, I want to sit next to Grandpa. They switch. Okay, that could happen. But the table will easily correct that once it comes. Oh, they switched spots. Okay, yeah, well, this is yours, blah, blah, blah. Okay, maybe that was a little long explanation on how that works. But it's super effective. And lots of restaurants could do it. And it's really simple. And it's just smooth. And everyone gets their food. I love it. But I hate the auctioning of food. And they show up, who had this? And everybody stands there. What'd she say? And if it's a restaurant that's kind of noisy, you know, TVs or music or whatever, you can't hear. Nobody knows what they got. These two burgers look identical. Which one's which? You avoid all that. And the food just magically arrives, gets put in front of you, and it's good to go. So I hate auctioning of food. All right, that was number five. Number six, this is our last one. This is not really a pet peeve, but, well, you'll see. I have a very wide range on my palate. I like lots of different foods and beverages, and I think I like things that are weird. Even I grew up in Japan, so maybe it was kind of normal to have quote unquote weird, you know, compared to the typical American palate. That's not a diss on anyone. I'm just saying it was different, right? So I was probably eating things as a kid that a lot of people are like, what? That's weird. Strong flavors, fishy stuff, right? Like I like sardines and things like that. You know, I've eaten stuff like sea urchin, and which not my favorite, but I could eat it. There's a Japanese dish called natto. It's a fermented bean curd with the like rice and an egg. And it's like stringy, and it's got a pungent-y taste. Not my favorite, but it was okay. And so I have this pretty wide range, but there is one thing. Seriously, I can't think of anything else. There is one food. I can't do it. I can't do it. And that is goat cheese. I cannot do goat cheese. How about you, Sturd Meg? You like goat cheese? You take it or leave it? Okay. Well, it's a strong flavor, so it's a distinct flavor. And I just can't do it, you guys. I can't. And here's why. And I know it's like this, you know, you get a run-of-the-mill salad, and it's like, oh, it's a run-of-the-mill salad, but you put goat cheese on it. Oh, now it's gourmet. It has goat cheese. It's gross. It's gross. Sorry. So maybe I'm uncultured. I don't know. I don't think I'm uncultured. You know, I've just explained that I had this cultured background, right? I can't do it, guys. I can't do it. It's just, here's the problem for me. Goat cheese to me, it tastes, and I love cheese, and I like all kinds. I even like some kind of stinky cheeses, but goat cheese to me tastes like what goats smell like. So if you go to a petting zoo, and everybody knows that smell, you go to a petting zoo and say, oh, look at the little goats, you know, we're going to go pet them, and they're cute. There's that goat smell. Never once have I ever been to a petting zoo and smelled the goats and said, that would make a really tasty cheese.
They make nasty cheese. I hate goat cheese. Goat cheese is like normal cheese, but nasty. Feta is better. Sorry, goats.
So, I don't mind the consistency. I like all kinds of things. But the goat cheese, guys, can't do it. I can't do it. So, I will eat it. I will eat it because I'm not going to have like a gag reflex or anything. And if it's served to me, it will go down, but it will not be enjoyable. It will not be enjoyable. And I wouldn't be rude and be like, I don't like goat cheese. So can I have, a grilled cheese sandwich instead or whatever? I would eat it. I'd take it like a man, but can't do the goat cheese. Sorry. Okay. So that was my list of pet peeves. How are we doing? Okay. Pretty good. Dirdmig. Keep an eye on the clock for me just to keep it light, keep it short. So what did we learn today? Well, you might have learned that I'm maybe kind of unstable. And, this guy talks about, choosing love and not hate and all this, but it sounds like he's got a lot of anger. No, I don't. And these are just little pet peeves. Everybody has their own thing. I have reasons for all of them. Looking back at my list, I think my reasons are okay. You may not agree, but I have a reason, right? Not just, well, why do you hate it? I just hate it. No, I have reasons for that. So maybe you learned a little something about, taking responsibility for implementing rules that you can control if they're implemented or not. Maybe we learned about the reasons for the things we do aren't necessarily because of an outside thing. It's because we choose to act or not act, right? We also maybe learned that you can't impose something on someone without them, allowing you to impose it. And we need to understand the law in order to make good decisions. I think people that have, the more information you have on something, the better decision you can make, right? We learned about the meaning of the words, right? Meaning of the words, and that we don't live in a democracy, and we learned why we don't, right? And we had a little restaurant information, a little behind the scenes. If you've never worked at a restaurant, everyone should work at a restaurant, I think. It's a great experience, whether you love it or not. And it'll change, if you never have, it'll change your perception. And when you go to a restaurant, you'll maybe not be so much of a Karen if you have a tendency to be like that. And then we learned the kind of food that is probably from hell, or at least the idea of turning it into food was. No, I'm just kidding. Can't do the goat cheese, guys. Can't do the goat cheese. Anyway, that's about it for this one. I'll leave you with this quote. This is a quote from Plato. And here at Awake the Iron, we're always talking about deception and keeping sharp and understanding things and learning. And Plato said this. He said, "Those who are able to see beyond the shadows and lies of their culture will never be understood, let alone believed by the masses." Okay? All right. Well, till next time, we'll see ya.
Greg.